are listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Orange Grove Radio, the show that plays the latest and the greatest in Canadian jazz. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and today we have a very special episode lined up for you. We have some great tunes, and we also have a very special guest, Lori Wolf, who is the band leader of Queen Kong. The band just came out with an incredible new album entitled Frey. They're a klezmer jazz fusion band. This album is spectacular, so we're going to play two tracks from Frey, and we're also going to have a great chat with Lori Wolf, so definitely stay tuned because that's going to be happening a little bit later on in the show. I have some great music to play for you today. We have music by Kalia Ramu, Surefire Sweat, Jocelyn Gould, Al Muirhead, the Adema Manukis Octet, and so much more. It's crazy to me that this is episode 51 of the show, which means that we're almost 1 year into the show. And this show is an independent radio show. You know, it's self-produced, self-edited, self-recorded, everything. So thank you so much for all of the love. We're here to introduce you to brand new Canadian jazz and to play some music from your favorite Canadian jazz artists. If you'd like to join the Orange Grove Radio family on social media, you could follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Orange Grove Publicity. You can also tweet us at OG Publicity. If you love the show and you wish that you could listen to episodes on demand, you can. All of our episodes are on Spotify and Mixcloud. All you have to do is search up Orange Grove Radio. Lastly, if you love a track but you missed the title or the artist name, do not worry because we post about every single thing on our socials, and we have all of the detailed playlists on our website, orangegrovepublicity.com. Without further ado, let's get into episode 51. This Juno-nominated album is Al Muirhead's most intriguing project to date. Undertones, recorded in early February 2018, set for a late September street date, the album featured Al on rare bass trumpet with the new Canadian Quintet. The album highlights musicians Al has had a fondness and musical connection with over the years, including Canadian jazz heavyweights Kelly Jefferson on sax, Reg Schwager on guitar, Neil Swainson on bass, and Ted Warren on drums. If you don't already know him, Al Muirhead has long been an iconic figure on the Canadian jazz scene, and the trumpeter, composer, arranger, sideman, and recording artist has been making listeners take notice for longer than jazz fans might realize. Born in Regina in 1935, he was playing in the Regina Symphony and dance bands by age 12. Muirhead began to take notice of greats such as Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, and Louis Armstrong. While Muirhead's playing is infused with the influence of jazz giants, his flowing melodic sound is his own and has become influential in its own right. This is Tenderly by Al Muirhead from his album Undertones. I'm Jenna Marie and this is Orange Grove Radio. Thank you. You're listening to Orange Grove Radio, and I'm your host, Jenna Marie. Surefire Sweat's self-titled debut features eight original works by Juno-nominated and first-time bandleader Larry Graves. The music is primarily instrumental and driven by a narrative. Each piece is an emotive journey, offering real-time reflections on the nature of the human condition. The music from this record had been in the works for years, but the daunting feat of organizing and rehearsing a new band was a surefire way to cause a new father and working musician like Graves to sweat a little. In 2017, the Muse breathed life back into the project, and Graves reached out to a multi-generational roster of Toronto's finest musicians to help him realize his unique take on jazz, funk, and world rhythms. We're going to be listening to the second track from the album, which is entitled For All the Times I Never Came to See You. And this band features Larry Graves on drums, percussions, and vocals, Rob Neil Christian on flute, Elena Capillaris on tenor sax and vocals, Paul Metcalf on baritone sax, Brad Eaton on trumpet, Paul McDougall on guitar and vocals, Liam Smith on bass guitar, Rhodes, and vocals, and Dave Chan on percussion, organ, and vocals as well. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Surefire Sweat on Orange Grove Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Orange Grove Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and today we're talking about Jocelyn Gould. She has a brand new album coming out entitled Golden Hour, and it is this guitarist's sophomore album, a follow-up to her 2021 Juno-winning debut, Elegant Traveler. Golden Hour further explores her musical character and personal development. It showcases her virtuosic guitar playing and dynamic compositions, and it showcases her voice, her singing voice, for the very first time. Golden Hour features 6 original compositions and 4 American songbook standards. The album is steeped in traditional jazz guitar history, paying homage to guitar greats such as Wes Montgomery on Willow Weep For Me and the solo guitar style of Joe Pass on Sweet Lorraine, which is what we're going to be listening to next. Jocelyn is joined by a group of internationally acclaimed musicians for this album, including world-renowned bassist Rodney Whittaker, drummer Quincy Davis, and pianist Will Bonis. This ensemble follows in the footsteps of many of the great guitar quartet records which have inspired Gould. She rounds out the group with Monk competition-winning saxophonist John Gordon on 3 tracks. When you listen to Golden Hour, you will hear swing, blues, memorable melodies, and Jocelyn's signature-rich natural guitar sound. This is Sweet Lorraine by Jocelyn Gould from her album Golden Hour. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
This is guitarist Jocelyn Gould, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio on Indie 101.5.
Hey, you're listening to Orange Grove Radio, the show that plays the latest and the greatest in Canadian jazz, and I'm your host, Jenna Marie. The philosopher Joseph Campbell wrote extensively about following one's bliss. These influential writings form the conceptual basis for Bliss Station, the 13th album of original music by Toronto-based guitarist and composer Eric Saint Laurent. With plenty of time set aside to write, undisturbed by the fast pace of our ever-changing world, the creation, editing, and mixing of this album took place over several months in Berlin and Toronto. Every step of the production was slow, relaxed, and deliberate. Born and raised in Montreal, Saint Laurent studied improvisation in New York before moving to Berlin, where he toured with both big and small names in the German and Scandinavian music scenes. Since returning to Canada, he has been leading his own band, recording and touring extensively throughout Europe and Canada. We're going to be listening to the second track from the album, which is entitled Shut Up, Silly. This one features Eric Saint Laurent on guitar and keyboards, Sebastian Studnitsky on trumpet and piano, Jordan O'Connor on bass, and Michelle De Quevedo on percussion. I'm Jenna Marie, and this is Shut Up, Silly by Eric Saint Laurent from his album Bliss Station on Orange Grove Radio. To be thrown into the fray is to enter into an intense situation without notice. Fray is also the Yiddish word for free. For Queen Kong, this double entendre couldn't be more apropos. The Toronto band's debut album, Fray, was created during a time of worldwide uncertainty and when all paths seemed unclear. During a time of unraveling, Fray stands as a strong unifying statement, merging myriad influences to create something unique and powerful. Joining the band on all tracks is clarinetist Michael Winograd, a singular musical force whose impact stretches across 20 years of klezmer-influenced music in New York and around the world. Cellist Beth Silver appears on three tracks. Her contributions offer the listener a unique listening opportunity, as cello is not commonly heard in klezmer music. Wolf's 10 originals move through moments of odd-metered Balkan groove, Jewish jazz, funk, and more. Lori Wolf is actually our very special guest today. I have the honor and privilege of interviewing her for today's episode, but first, let's listen to a track from the new album, Fray. This is the fifth track, and it's entitled Kiddush for Johnny, in memory of Johnny Wong. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jenna Marie here on Orange Grove Radio, and I'm with Lori Wolf, the band leader of Queen Kong, and they just released their album Frey, and it is absolutely fantastic. Thank you for joining us, Lori, and congrats.
Thank you very much.
I have many questions for you, Lori, so I'm just going to get right into the questions here. I want to know, how did you first discover your love for klezmer music, and what does it mean to you?
Oh, I don't know. It's like discovering I have fingers. Like, I grew up in a Jewish household, and singing and doing stuff like that was just part of the growing up part. I went to a Jewish day school, and every morning we would all pray together, but praying to me was just singing songs together. So every morning we would sing together, and those were the melodies and those were the modes and those. And so, you know, it was always present with Jewish melodies. And I went to synagogue, and everything is sung in a synagogue, and all the holidays, everything is sung, all the Passover, like community life in Jewish life, Jewish community life is all about singing. So there's always singing. There's always, they're called nigunim. So if you're sitting around a table on the Sabbath on like a Friday night or a Saturday, someone will strike up a tune during lunch and we'll all just sing together. And that's just par for the course. And it never felt weird to do that. It never felt out of the ordinary to be at someone's table where we all just start singing together. And now, as I grew up and started going to other people's houses where they don't just simultaneously burst into song, that was weird. So it's always been part of my life, Jewish melodies. Not necessarily the klezmer I'm playing today, but there's a lot of similarities, and it was easy to start playing that style of music given the same kind of modes, the same kind of background. You know, my grandmother is from the old country, from the shtetl, and she sang a bunch of songs. So it was as beautiful and as natural as just any other childhood experience, and as normal, just having that kind of music in my life.
Well, the music of your band, it seems to me that it's very like fusion. It has jazz influence. It has other influences. How did you kind of discover this signature sound from the music that you grew up, I mean, just singing and being, you know, part of your household to what it is now?
Well, when I started being old enough to start listening and making my own musical decisions, I gravitated towards jazz. I can't tell you why I like it. I love listening to people improvise and getting really into it. I love playing swing. I love playing jazz. And I loved bop. I actually started listening to jazz maybe backwards from some people might listen to it. I started off with like really heavy bop and like out improv, like Ornette Coleman and Thelonious Monk and like really heavy boppy stuff. And but especially John Zorn, who had a band called Masada that I was really drawn to when I was a teenager. And then I decided I was going to study music and figure out what all that meant. And then once you start studying stuff like bop, you have to start studying whose shoulders they're standing on. And so I slowly came back to traditional jazz. So I you know, I listen to the entire gamut, and I love it all. I listen to traditional jazz, swing, bebop, early stuff, late stuff, out stuff, in stuff, you know, the Brazilian arm, the Latin arm, and everything in between. So, you know, I really stuffed my head full of different sounds. I also studied South Indian percussion pretty extensively with Trichy Shankaran, and also studied Bata Santeri and drumming with Michael Marcuzzi. And, you know, that all just stirred in the pot of my brain and came out on the other end as the Queen Kong sound. And I think that is how music is made, really, if you think about it.
Something that I've noticed about people who grew up with a certain kind of music and tradition around their household, and then they end up studying music, they kind of sometimes stray away from that musical style. And then a little bit later in life, they end up coming back to it. Is that something that you experienced, or has it been with you this whole time?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because I have a recollection of like, okay, so why did I start playing? Well, jazz, I know why I started playing. Rock, I know why I started playing. Why did I come back to klezmer? The reason is because, and this might make you laugh, is so that my parents could somehow relate to what I was doing. Hmm. And I grew up in an Orthodox household, and girls didn't become musicians. They sure as hell didn't play the drums. So there was a bit of a generational, there was a lot of a generational struggle. Let's just not fuck around. And I just needed them to understand that, you know, music was music. And I started playing something they could relate to. I started bringing klezmer musicians home. And, you know, my mom's from the old country. My mom's a Holocaust survivor. She was born in 43 in Romania. So she's one of the younger Holocaust survivors, but still. And so I'd bring home, you know, one of my Romanian violinist friends from, you know, from Klez Canada or from Ashkenaz Festival and be like, look, this is what I do. You can relate to this. You understand this, right? So I started playing more klezmer. And when I was young and when I was growing up, and, you know, Orthodox Jews get married a little younger, like in their early 20s. So I was at a lot of weddings when I was younger. And I was always standing behind the drummer. I was just standing there, you know, watching him. And it was only like
studying.
And they all knew me. All the Jewish wedding band drummers in town, they turn around and go, oh, there's Lori again. You know, I wouldn't sit down and eat. I wouldn't do, like, you know, do a little dancing, and then I'd come back and I'd go up to the band like a big nerd. And actually, funny enough, you know, 30 years later or so, okay, let's go with 20. 20 years later, I was at another wedding. And, you know, for old time's sake, I went and stood behind the band, and the drummer turned around and gives me a huge smile. And he comes out and he says, I've been watching you watch me since you were 8 years old, which is pretty sweet. And it was like, oh, cool. Well, now I do this. Actually, what I was really doing was trying to steal tunes for my own wedding repertoire at that point. But yeah.
You probably made him feel very special by studying him for all those years at those.
Yeah. I mean, Jewish wedding music is so fun. And, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to go to, you know, the wedding of another culture, it's really eye-opening how different people celebrate. And, you know, obviously I can speak to Jewish weddings. Playing Jewish music at a wedding and playing Jewish music at Queen Kong brings me the same joy. Because it's from the same place, and it brings people so much happiness. So if I'm playing to a wedding crowd or I'm playing at Drum Taberna, you know, it feels the same. It just feels very, very good. And it's always this thing I'm chasing, this feeling of watching people really enjoy themselves. Because it's not like playing, like, with all due respect to all the artists in the top 40 world, it's a different kettle of fish altogether to play this style of music. The kind of ecstatic craziness people get to is amazing. So, I mean, I have no regrets, you know, trying to, like, bring this music back into my life, despite the circumstances in which I did it.
Well, this is the perfect segue into talking about your brand new album. Tell us about this album. How did it come to be? How are you feeling about it? Tell me everything.
Yeah. So COVID was kind of a forced writing retreat. So I did a lot of my writing then. And I work as a public school teacher. I teach music to small children, well, from K to eight. So while I was doing this full-time job, I was also running the Toronto Klezmer Society, Horror Machine, and trying to get an act together called Queen Kong. So I did a lot of my writing then, even more of my writing during COVID. And I was also paying into this program with the TDSB where I could take a year off and just do a thing, like save up like 20% of my pay over 4 years. And lo and behold, you get a sabbatical with your own money. So they'll basically hold your position for you, and you can go and conquer the world for a year. So boom, last June, school is done for me for the year. I'm doing my happy dance. And a few weeks later, one of my grants comes through. Yay. So now I have a Canada Council grant. And everything just fell into place. It was unbelievable how everything just lined up after 2 years of, you know, very slow and very painful for everyone kind of living, and things really started opening up. So I had the money to go and write and craft and dedicate full days of uninterrupted writing and arranging and talking and, you know, everything that goes in and booking and without any sort of, you know, job during my day to interrupt my trajectory. And I found my favorite people in the world to put this band together with. And I'm so grateful that they're in my life. I'm very happy with the people I'm working with. They really made it come to life. And we had a whole bunch of rehearsals where I could pay them properly, thanks to Canada Council, which is always like my goal, to make sure artists feel worthy, like that their time is well spent, not only artistically, but they also are paid for their time, which is so bloody important. So I was able to pay everybody properly, and pay everybody for rehearsals, pay everybody in the studio. I had Patrick McGrory do the recording. So that's how Frey came into being. So thanks to like some everything, like all my work just lining up perfectly and everything just landing on its feet last June after I started my sabbatical. I feel very fortunate. Frey was meant to be, yeah.
Hi, this is Toronto-based drummer and composer Laurie Wolfe from Queen Kong, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio on Indie 101.5.
This is East, Third, and C by Queen Kong on Orange Grove Radio. Thank you. You're listening to Orange Grove Radio, and I'm your host, Jenna Marie. Is life online in the 21st century a blessing or a curse? One could make a case either way, but if you're Toronto-based vocalist and songwriter Ori Dagan, one thing is certain, there's great material to be mined for a lyric, something Dagan always delivers with a wry and agile sense of swing. Click Right Here is Ori Dagan's brand new album, and it's his first album of original material. It offers a joyful escape from and timely reflection upon a world spinning out of control. Themes include online dating, social media, technological troubles, and the quest for freedom and equality in a divided world. This is The Social Media Tango by Ori Dagan from his album Click Right Here. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Follow me, follow me, follow me. Follow me, follow me. Maybe I'll follow you. The social media tango. It's sweet and juicy as a mango. It's like a digital fandango. How crazy will your fellow man go? He'll burn his fingers just like Django. He'll cut his ear off just like Van Gogh. There is no end to where this can go. The social media tango. Click right here. Follow the coolest link. Send me a comment. Tell me what you think. Have no fear. There's no spam here. I'm just dying to connect. The social media tango. It's sweet and juicy as a mango. It's like a digital fandango. How crazy will your fellow man go? He'll burn his fingers just like Django. He'll cut his ear off just like Mango. There is no end to where you can go. The social media tango. Me, or is it simply in my head? Follow me.
Well, everybody, we've almost reached the end of the show. I know. It's always so sad when we get to the end, but don't worry because we'll be here next week. Same time, same place, every single week. And next week is a very special episode because it is going to be our anniversary episode, our 1 year episode. Woo! I'm going to be hosting with co-producer of the show, Ernesto Cervini. We're going to do a little duo hosting, and I think that's going to be a really, really fun time. We're going to talk about the show, the beginnings, how much we've been enjoying it, our favorite music from the past year. So definitely tune in next week. It's going to be a really great one. Closing the show today is going to be a track by the Adema Manukis Octet entitled Three Step Deal. I'm Jenna Marie, and thanks so much for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.